This morning's reading is from Luke chapter 5. That's Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. You'll find that on page 1025 of the Pew Bible. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding round him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signalled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the son of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. Amen.
Now let us pray. God our Father, we pray for grace to look to Jesus at this moment, that our thirst will be quenched, that our souls will be revived, and that we will live more securely in him and know his love and feel strong in his service. For we ask it in his name. Amen. Friends, it's pretty obvious that in the teaching of Jesus, he shows what a connection he has with the world around him. In his teaching, he refers to the birds of the air, the flowers of the field, the vines in the vineyard. And he also draws lessons from the working people that are around him. For instance, he sees a man, a builder, laying a foundation for a house. And he immediately thinks of the firm foundation that men and women can lay for their personal lives, which is to listen to his teaching and to put it into practice. And he looks out at the fields and he sees a farmer who is sowing his seed. And the farmer knows that some of the seed is going to fall on unsuitable ground, while others of the seed will find ground where it can be fruitful. And Jesus immediately thinks of the work of his kingdom. Some of the work will be wasted, but others will find growth. And Jesus looks out and he sees the shepherd out in the hillside, looking after his sheep, giving names to each one of his sheep, being willing to lay down his life for his sheep when they're being attacked by predators. And Jesus makes a very personal connection with that. He is the good shepherd, the one who is destined to lay down his life for his people. A very personal image that Jesus takes from the world around him. But there was another image of the working person that Jesus found very meaningful to himself. And he sought to make meaningful to all those who followed him. And that was the work of the fishermen. In In the same way that these men launched out to gather fish, Jesus called men and women to go out into the world to tell his story and to share his love and to gather more people into his church. Jesus said, and these are words that we learn at a very early age, surely. Jesus said to these men, I will make you fishers of men. Come and follow me. And in the passage that Robert read to us early in the service, friends, what we see is Jesus not content just to use a metaphor to let people understand what the work of his kingdom is all about. Jesus actually displays that image in the midst of his people. He acts it out. He shows men and women what the work of his kingdom is. It's just like this. It's like the fisherman who goes out onto the lake and gathers the fish for the shore. And of course, this was a miracle. This was the power of Jesus being displayed. But he has established in that one particular incident how mission works in every day and in every age. And it's something that we need to take to ourselves, friends. As we face the challenge of mission in our own day, such a complex moment in human history, such an uncertain moment in human history. And yet still the call goes out to all God's people everywhere to be fishers of men and women, gathering more and more people into the fellowship of Jesus' church. The prime focus in the story is of course Peter, who is going to be the leader of the very first mission into the world, telling the story of Jesus, sharing his love. But Peter had to learn lessons before that day when he stepped out. And I believe that the lessons Peter learned on that day on the lake are lessons that we need to learn ourselves. What Jesus was saying to Peter in the first instance, when it became clear that no fish had been gathered the night before, Jesus says to Peter, you'll need to be prepared to launch out. You'll need to be prepared to launch out. I know you didn't have a good night last night, Peter. And I know it's been good for you to listen to my teaching here on the lakeside. Maybe that's been a wee bit of a distraction for you. But now comes the moment when you are going to have to launch out onto the lake. He said to Peter, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. And you kind of think about Peter within himself saying, well, when did he become an expert? The carpenter from Nazareth. But Jesus seems to be so confident that if Peter goes out to the deep water, then he'll bring in a haul of fish. And so Peter puts out onto the lake. And I think we need to stop there, friends, just at that particular moment, and realize that that's Jesus' command to his people, to his church in every age, that they should launch out to the deep water. It was never Jesus' intention that his church should become static It was never his intention that we should become institutionalized. It was never his intention that we just become woven into the fabric of society and have a permanent corner there somewhere. Jesus' vision for his church was that the church would be a movement of people. That it would make its way through human history, gathering more and more people, latching on to his momentum to display love and justice and peace. You know, a few years ago, friends, there was a committee within the church that produced a report for a general assembly. It was called Church Without Walls. And that's what Jesus envisaged for his people. That we're not contained by the four walls of a building, that we're always launching out and seeking to gather people in. And I have to tell you, friends, that it's been a privilege for me as your minister over the years to see the commitment of this congregation to be a church without walls and to seek ways to serve our community, but also to make an impact in different parts of the world. And it's been a privilege for me personally to come into contact with Christian groups that are seeking to minister to the marginalized in our society. To let them see that while perhaps no one else wants anything to do with them, they remain in Jesus' loving focus. And it's been a privilege for me also to be in contact with individual stories. People who, without anyone's knowledge, are sharing their faith, informally responding to people in need. Church without walls. But it's something that needs to be continuing. There is never a moment when we can allow Jesus' call to launch out to become dim in our minds. Years ago, there was a very popular book among ministers about mission. It was called Outgrowing the Ingrowing Church. Outgrowing the Ingrowing Church. And you know, friends, that is something that we continually need to be on a stretch to achieve. That our outgoing is far greater than our ingrowing. Let's remember our Lord Jesus pointing to the deep waters. There's fish out there, Peter. I need you to launch out. And there was another message for the man who would become the leader of the church's mission in the early days. He had to launch out, but Jesus also was making it clear to Peter that he had to overcome his reservations. You have to overcome your reservations. At first, it would seem that Peter was reluctant to do what Jesus wanted him to do. And you think to yourself, well, there's good reason for that. The guy's been working all night, these long hours in the darkness, and nothing happening. There was no good reason for him to launch out onto the lake once again. And you know, there are times, folks, when I can find within myself reasons why I shouldn't launch out. Reasons why I should modify my expectations of what the church can do in our own time. You know, sometimes we plead the times that we're in. We're in this global village, and people who have got a spiritual hunger have so many different alternatives. So it's awful difficult to fit into that. And we can plead resources. We can't compete with the technologies that are available to people today. We can't compete with the leisure activities that are attracting people. There's so much that is drawing people's attention and vying for their commitment. And sometimes even we can plead the very nature of people themselves. And we tell ourselves that there's never been a time in the history of our country when there's been so much indifference to the gospel. And indeed so much hostility. Well, when you think of any of these things, and if you pull them all together into one lump, then you see what a massive task there is for the church of today. But Jesus said to Peter, no reservations. And Peter went out onto the lake, and he didn't have any new equipment. And he didn't have any detailed instructions. He had his feet planted in his boat. He had his hands clutching his nets. All he had to do was to push out. And to overcome that voice in his head that told him that this was a fool's errand. Perhaps he came to that place where quite simply he said, well, I'm a fisherman. And a fisherman fishes. And I hope and pray, friends, that that light bulb is going on in all our minds this morning. When we realize who we are. When we realize the importance of the message that we have. When we realize who it is that's calling us to launch out. We are the church. And we have to be what we are. A people with a message to proclaim. A people with love to share. No matter what the challenges of our time are. We are fishermen. And a fisherman fishes. You know, I once attended a conference where a speaker said something that I've never forgotten. He spoke about the complicated society in which we live today, where people's heads are never out of screens for information and for entertainment. And we think about the impossibility of reaching these people with the kind of message that we've got. But he said, you know, there will come a time in this Twitterized age when people are going to begin to appreciate being able to come to a real place to listen to a real person talking about things that really matter. Coming to a real place to listen to a real person talking about things that really matter. But you see, we have to be convinced that these things that are at the heart of our witness do really matter. And we have to be convinced what that message we proclaim has power to make an impact in our society. The Apostle Paul was convinced about that, wasn't he? He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. When I come amongst the powerful people of Rome, when I come amongst the sophisticates of Greece, when I come upon the people of Israel steeped in the ancient scriptures, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God for the salvation of men and women. And that's where we need to be this morning. And Peter, despite those reservations, he came to see that power in action. And in this, we learn the importance of obedience. Jesus saying to Peter, you must practice obedience. You know, when Jesus said, Peter, launch out there into the lake, he said, well, because you say so. And you can almost see him shrugging and, you know, if it doesn't do me any good, it'll not do me any harm. Let's go. But that was Peter at that moment with a choice. And because he took Jesus at his promise, because he was doing what he was told to do, then he was able to see this incredible miracle taking place. The power of God working in the midst of these working men. Now, I mentioned a book earlier that was written about mission, and you know, I dread to think how many forests have been mown down to produce books about mission. They're all out there. But it's not something that you can do by the book. There's no how-to manual, because at the end of the day, friends, this is all down to God and His power to make an impression on men and women. What is required of us is that we bring ourselves, that we give what we can, but always depending on the power of God. And you know, think about it on that day. We're told that, you know, that there were so many fish caught that the guys couldn't cope. The nets were beginning to break. They had to call in some of their other friends to come and help them. The power of God had produced this great catch of fish. Now the challenge for me this morning, friends, when I think of this, is to ask myself these questions. Do I believe that God can demonstrate His power in the lives of men and women to clarify their thinking, to touch them in the depths of their minds, to bring them to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and perhaps in so doing, deal with destructive patterns of behavior that are dragging them down? Do I really believe this morning? You know, there's a story about George Whitefield, the great preacher and evangelist in the 18th century, and he wrote in his diary that he was out preaching in the open air, and there were crowds of people before him, and there was a lot of mockery, and there was drunkenness as well, and he's preaching away, and he feels as if his words are just tripping out his tongue and falling like cannonballs to the ground. But then he says, in the midst of all of this, God came down amongst us. Well, how did he know that? Well, things became silent. And people were listening. And others knelt down under conviction that God was there and that they needed to turn to him. Now, these things don't always happen, but that's no reason for anyone to lose faith that it can happen. That's no reason for anyone to give up. Peter faced failure as a fisherman because he worked all night and caught nothing. He was reluctant to do what Jesus wanted him to do, but in the end, he ended up on his knees. Totally overwhelmed by what he'd just experienced. He says, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. What do you want to have anything to do with me for?" Everyone was astonished at what had happened. And that's where we belong, friends. On our knees. If we are serious about the gospel making an impact on our community, upon our nation, upon our world, this is where it begins. Because on our knees, we are showing that we depend on a much greater power than any resources that we can naturally bring to the work. And that's not to bring us all down and to denigrate us in any way, because the story ends with this conviction that while we need to be on our knees and to realize the holiness and the majesty of our Lord Jesus Christ, he believes that we are up to it. He believes that we can do it. He said to Peter, "Don't be afraid. I don't want you to be on your knees the whole time. From now on, you are going to catch men. From now on, there will be a gathering. And a movement of my people is going to sweep through the world." Jesus knew what he was doing when he called Peter, James, John, Andrew, and all the rest of it. He knew what he was doing when he called you. And it falls to us at this moment to be willing to launch out despite our reservations, to obey and to follow. Let's pray. God our Father, we ask that in the power of your Holy Spirit, you would take each life before you this morning, that you would fill us with your fullness, enabling us to know your love and your good purpose in our lives, so that we might go forward as a people of expectation, expecting that you will bless our work and prosper your kingdom in our midst. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.